the home front. Technological advancements in engineering and chemistry were producing weapons far deadlier than any previous firearms or explosives. Poison gases such as chlorine and mustard gas were devastating to soldiers in the trenches and caused horrific long-lasting injuries. New weaponry and the introduction of the tank replaced cavalry in effectively breaking through enemy lines, and aviation advances brought the war into the skies. World War I is considered the first modern war. Here in Buffalo, the Curtiss Aeroplane and Motor Corporation became the largest U.S. producer of aircraft, employing thousands of people locally to build planes for training and combat. The Pierce Arrow Motor Car Company, a manufacturer of luxury cars, retooled trucks for wartime use and sent hundreds to England and France. Buffalo was home to many factories and manufacturing companies that made and sold a multitude of products and equipment needed to supply the military during this time. With so many men away serving in the war and local factories working at highest capacity, more workers were needed, opening up new work opportunities for women and minorities. Children also played their part. Many boys joined women in the factories to fill the gaps left by workers joining the armed forces. The Boy Scouts served as coast watchers and sold war bonds. In Buffalo, tens of thousands of school children participated in Liberty Loan drives and helped make garments with the Junior Red Cross. Every high school saw their older male students enlisting or being drafted. In late 1917 and into 1918, a worldwide epidemic of influenza called the Spanish Flu spread across the European battlefields and into cities in Europe and America. As there were not yet vaccines to prevent the virus or antibiotics to treat associated infections, disease spread rapidly and was often fatal in a matter of hours, even to the young and healthy. By the end of the war, half of the American soldiers who died in Europe actually died of the flu. The epidemic ultimately killed as many as 50 million people worldwide. Buffalo was certainly not immune. The flu arrived here in September 1918. With many medical personnel away serving in the war, University at Buffalo Medical School students were pressed into action and the Central High School downtown was converted into an emergency hospital. To help prevent the spread of flu, public gatherings of more than 10 people were prohibited and public places such as swimming pools and theaters were closed for a time. You may have heard of shell shock, a precursor to what we know today as PTSD or post-traumatic stress disorder. The new types of artillery and constant shelling of the trenches created a new class of injury that had not been seen before. Originally called battlefield neurosis, a series of symptoms including shaking, mental confusion, and loss of hearing or vision began to appear in soldiers early in the war. Sometimes removed from the front lines for rest, these men were often accused of cowardice and sent right back into the fray. As many more cases appeared, the symptoms were found to be both debilitating and difficult to treat. Some soldiers never recovered. New mental health treatments and the emerging science of psychiatry were pioneered during this time to help them find relief. Locally, Fort Porter at Front Park was recommissioned in November 1917 as a hospital for returning soldiers and specialized in mental health treatment, particularly for shell shock. As our soldiers were doing their part overseas, those at home were also asked to make sacrifices for the war effort. The U.S. Food Administration, headed by future President Herbert Hoover, was established to address the severe food shortages and starvation of our allies in Europe. Over 33 million tons of food would be shipped to Europe during and after the war. Food conservation and home front support posters were a huge part of the messaging to encourage everyone to reduce food waste and ration use of ingredients like sugar and flour. Here in Buffalo, food conservation work began in July 1917. The local Women's Committee for Food Production and Conservation established a thrift kitchen on East Chippewa Street as a training center, demonstrating conservation methods such as canning and drying foods, use of wheat substitutes, and sugarless desserts. More than 3,000 local women took the pledge to prevent the waste or selfish use of our food reserves. The thrift kitchen became a model as a training school. The National War Garden Commission encouraged home gardening to reduce the burden on labor and transportation services engaged in war work. After the war, the War Garden became the Victory Garden as the U.S. continued to send food to the needy in Europe.